Welcome to the Pups That Play podcast. My name is Karen, and I'm a pro dog trainer and fur mom, and I will be your host throughout this journey. Together, I'm going to be sharing with you training tips, tools, and strategies to help you create a well-mannered, calm, and confident family pet. The best part is, we do it all through play. Around here, our dogs are part of our family, and we want them to live their best lives possible and have it be enjoyable for everyone involved. I am so excited to share today's episode with you, so let's get started. Welcome to today's episode of Pups That Play. My name is Karen, and I am very excited about today's topic because it's probably one of the things that I talk to people about the most. Actually, the other night, I was at a dinner for a board that I'm on with one of my daughter's activities, and of course, one of the other ladies was like, "Hey, I have a dog question for you." And the answer to her question was this: how to deal with distractions. So the questions I get a lot are, the one I got that night was, "Hey, my dog, when he's in the backyard, my neighbors have a dog, and when he sees him, he runs at the fence and jumps and barks excitedly because he wants to play with the other dog, but the neighbors do not like this. How do I get him to stop?" Or the question might be, "Hey, my dogs will see somebody walking another dog out the window and they just start barking like crazy. What do I do?" Or it might be, "Hey, you know, my dogs, they hear another dog barking in the yard down the street and they start barking like crazy. How do I get them to stop?" Or maybe you're out on a walk and, "Hey, we love to walk with my dogs, but, you know, they notice these kids on bikes because it's really busy, it's summer, and they freak out every single time a kid is on a bike and it's so embarrassing and I don't know what to do. What do I do?" And that is what we're going to talk about in today's episode: how to deal with distractions, how to deal with all of these things in our dog's environments that they react to. And reaction can be any kind of reaction, okay? So that can be, they are the typical like reactive reaction where they bark, where they lunge, where they pull on the leash, where they, you know, jump at the fence. It could be an exciting reaction. It could be jumping up on people. It can be spinning. It can be happy barking, yipping, like anything like that. But usually these are reactions that we don't want. There's something in the environment that our dogs are so incredibly focused on, and we just wish they wouldn't be. We wish that they would just ignore it, that it wasn't a thing, it wasn't a problem. How do we get our dogs to ignore that thing? How do we get them to stop worrying about that distraction, that other dog, that person, that noise, whatever it might be? And we are going to deep dive into that today. Well, when I say deep dive, I have a lot of notes that I want to cover, but again, this is just scratching the surface of it because it's such an important skill for our dogs to have. But I am going to walk you through how the technique that we use to do this. So, marking distractions. This is what we do. We actually mark the distractions. We work to teach our dogs that, "Hey, I saw you noticed that thing. I saw you noticed the squirrel or the dog or the person or the kid on the bike, whatever it is. Guess what? That is none of your business. Let's move on." That's what we're going to teach our dogs. We're going to teach our dogs that these things that they're noticing, that the reactivity that they're having is basically them just telling us that, "Hey, there's a thing. I see it. I notice it. I am concerned about it." And again, concerned can be, "I am scared, I don't like it," or concerned can be like, I really want to go over there and see that or play with that or be involved in whatever the heck that is. So we teach them to ignore it, to disengage from it, to be like, "Well, something's going on over there, but guess what? It's none of my business." And we do that through marking distractions, or it is a technique called DMT. And this is something that I first learned from Absolute Dogs. So we're going to dive into that today. This is a major tool we can use when working with any kind of reactivity or even any kind of distraction-focused dog. It also is a major builder of optimism and confidence for a more worried dog. So a lot of times when our dogs are reacting to something, it's usually because they're saying, I'm worried about that. I don't like that. There's something in my environment that I don't like it, so I'm going to react to it. That's how I'm going to deal with it. And to us, that's the inappropriate response. So we can actually really work with our worried pups with this. We're teaching them how to have a calm and appropriate reaction to things in their environment. Like when my neighbor shuts their car door, that does not mean we need to get all excited and barking. When we hear the car door shut, it's time to just lay and ignore it. None of your business. We don't have to be worried about it. Okay? So like I said, this is something we're going to mark the distractions. It's called DMT. So we're going to go through those three steps because they each stand for a step of this process. So D stands for distraction. Okay? So that is any event in the environment. Now, when you're working through this and when you're teaching this to your dogs, I mean any event in the environment. We are always so focused on those ones that are bad events, the ones that our dogs are extremely reactive to, the ones where they're running at the fence, the ones where they're barking, the ones where they're lunging. Yes, those are the distractions we're worried about, right? Those are the ones we want to fix. But when we're teaching this and when we're teaching this skill, we want to identify all the distractions. So this is things that maybe your dog already does notice, but doesn't react to. Those are still distractions. Maybe it's something that they look at, but don't bark. That's still a distraction. Anything, okay? We're going to condition them to an alternative, calm, positive response. And we want, the D stands for distraction, not distract. So we are not distracting our dog from the environment. We are noticing the distractions in the environment, okay? The second step, once we've noticed that there's a distraction, whether it's the thing that they freak out about or it's something like, hey, they noticed a leaf blow across the yard, literally can be anything. Maybe you are cooking and you drop a fork or something in the kitchen and they were napping and they look up and look at you. Still a distraction, still an event, something happening in their environment. We're going to move on to step two, mark. So if you know anything about reward markers, this is what that is. So we're going to create a calm marker that we can use in all of these situations to mark these distractions. It's a way of communicating with our dog, hey, I noticed that too, but it's nothing to be concerned about. So I want you to decide on a calm marker. One that's very, very often used for this skill is nice or good. It needs to be calm. It's usually kind of drawn out, like nice, not nice. Pick something. It can be anything you want. When it comes to markers, when it comes to verbals with our dogs, before we teach it to them, it means nothing. So it can literally be anything. But whatever you choose, make it something that you're going to remember and make it consistent. All once you pick one, don't change it. Okay, so come up with something. I use good, good. That kind of thing. Something that you can say calmly, and it's basically used to bridge that distraction with the correct response. Okay, we're going to mark the distraction. Hey, I noticed you saw that. Nothing to be worried about. Okay, so we mark the distraction. The distraction happens. We mark it with our marker, good or nice or whatever it is. And then DMT. The T stands for treat. So when we are building this skill, when we're teaching this, treat usually means literally treat, like a food reward, a treat, their daily kibble, whatever it might be. Sometimes treat, it basically stands for kind of the reward. Sometimes, depending on the situation and depending on the dog, especially if it's something that's the distraction is the thing that they react to, and if it's something that they're fearful about or overexcited about and they are like barking, lunging, freaking out, sometimes the T stands for removal from the situation. Sometimes we need to just get them out of there. Sometimes we need to bring them in from the backyard. Sometimes we need to turn around and walk in the other direction, whatever it might be. Because sometimes your dog is going to be in too high of a state of arousal to actually even want to take food from you. That's okay. Just reward. We're going to always reward. Whenever we use the marker, the M, whenever we use that marker that we decided on, we're always going to follow up with some kind of treat, some kind of reward. And if your dog won't take food, they're telling you that they're too over aroused and too stressed or too excited in that situation, and they need to step away from it. So even if the reward is just removing them from the situation, that is okay. But as you work through this and as you build the skill, and especially when you're building it with distractions that they're not reactive to, you're always going to use some kind of food reward. You can use toys too if you have a very toy-driven dog. Food works really, really well for it though. Okay, so let's recap. DMT, how are we marking the distractions? D, distraction happens. Remember, this is the distraction in the environment. Something's happening in the environment, not only things that they're reactive to. It can be anything, anything your dog notices. M, mark. You're going to mark it with your marker word. Nice, good, whatever it is. And then T, treat. Reward them. Give them a piece of food. Give them something they really like. Or if it's too much for them, remove them from the situation. That's the reward in that case. So as you're teaching this to your dog, in the beginning, like I said, don't use just the stuff that they react to negatively. You're going to want to do everything. So you drop a spoon, it makes a loud noise, your dog looks at you, nice, reward them. Your dog is in that situation where maybe they see that other dog in the backyard and they go to bark at them and you say, nice, you're still going to reward them. You're going to reward all of these different situations. And there's actually 5 different levels that our dogs work through when we are teaching this skill. And the thing about these levels is the dog is going to work through it at their own pace. You are not going to decide when you move from level 1 to level 2 or from level 2 to level 3. Your dog is going to do it naturally because you're going to be doing the same thing no matter what, but you're going to see your dog improve over time. So let's talk about the levels that we work through. Level 1, your dog is going to notice the distraction and you are going to mark and reward it no matter what they're doing. In a lot of cases, this is when they are barking at that thing out the window. This is when they are trying to run the fence. This is when they are lunging on their leash, whatever it is. We notice the distraction because the dog obviously has noticed the distraction. We're still going to mark it. Nice. And we're going to reward it. Your dog is still probably going to be barking or lunging or jumping. They're not going to be looking at you. They're not going to care what you're doing. They are way too focused on the thing that is happening. There's 2 key things with this step. Usually, the reward in these situations, in the very beginning when you're at level 1, the reward in these situations is removal from the situation. Because number 1, you do not want to allow them to continue that behavior. If it is the situation where they are quite reactive and we're trying to work through that, do not allow them to continue doing it. Okay, so if your dog is barking at something out the window and you are trying to mark and reward it, so they're barking at the dog walking by, you go, nice, and reward, and they're like not even looking at you, they don't want to take the food, maybe they take it and they're still barking, you're not going to just let them stand in the window and you're not going to keep marking it and keep rewarding them. You're still going to mark it and reward it, but then you're going to remove them from the situation. Okay, so take them away from the window into a different room. Bring them in from the backyard. If you're on a walk and they are reacting to something in the environment, turn around and go a different way. End the walk. Whatever it needs to be. You do not allow them to continue the behavior because what our dogs do becomes what they do all the time. They are creatures of habit, and the more they do something, the more it becomes second nature. So you're still going to mark and reward. You may think, well, great, I'm rewarding them from doing it. No. Because you're not going to let them continue to do it, okay? And like we said before, do not only pick the bad things that they react to. This is a mistake a lot of people make because it's so easy to focus on our dogs with distractions when they're completely flipping out, or when they're barking, or when they're lunging, or when they're jumping, or when they're fence running, whatever it might be, because it's something that it's embarrassing, or it's stressful for us, or it's annoying, or it's something we don't want happening. So it's so easy to focus in on those times. But if you only mark and reward when they're doing the crazy over the top stuff, it actually becomes a trigger. And if you have a very smart dog, this happens. And in my early days of this skill, I accidentally did this a little bit with my one dog, because whenever she would start to bark at something out the window, I would mark it and reward it, and she would stop. She would come right to me when she heard the marker, which was great. But it got to the point where she would look out the window, woof at something, and then come run to me. It became a trigger. She was using it as a, hey, I'm going to get a reward for doing this, so I'm going to bark at something out the window and then come and get a reward. Or it also becomes a trigger where if they hear you say nice, because maybe you're noticing something in the environment that you know they're going to react to and they haven't quite reacted to it yet, because that is one of the steps, then they're going to go, oh, I only hear that word when there's the thing that I like to bark, or the thing that I like to lunge at, or the thing that really upsets me. So then that word becomes a trigger and your dog starts looking for it. They start going, oh, I heard that word. That must mean there's something in the environment that I normally react to. I need to be very concerned about it. So we're also going to pick things that our dogs don't react to. There needs to be a really, really good balance between doing the stuff that they're freaking out at, or they're jumping at, or they're excited about, and stuff that they notice, but they don't react to. So then that way it's becoming just a general calm marker, not a trigger. Okay, so yes, when your dog barks at that thing out the window, mark and reward and remove them from the situation so they don't continue. But when they notice a leaf blowing by or something when they're in the backyard, mark it and reward it. When a car door closes and you see that they lifted their ears but didn't do anything, mark it and reward it. Literally anything you can find in your environment, mark it and reward it. And just do this throughout your everyday life, okay? You're going to find so many little things that you can use as distractions to mark and reward. So level one, they're noticing it, you're noticing it, they're usually freaking out about it, or it could just be something that they're noticing you are going to mark and reward no matter what your dog is doing, no matter the behavior that they're showing, it doesn't matter, we're marking and rewarding it. Eventually your dog is going to get to level two, which is where your dog notices the thing, but they do not react immediately. They are aware of it. They are focused on it, but they're not in that over aroused, barking, lunging, jumping, excited, fearful state. They've moved from that. They've moved from instant like reaction to I've noticed it, but I'm not reacting quite yet. Mark it and treat it. Mark it and reward it. This is awesome. This is like the first step in the right direction. So they still notice it. You might be kind of borderline between level one and level two. It might be the point where they see the thing and you notice that they're not quite reacting. You're going to mark and reward. And then you might be worried that if they stay in that situation that they're going to. So then it might be a mark, reward, and removal, but without the barking or without the jumping or the lunging or whatever it is. That's still level two. That is really awesome. And then you're going to get to level three, where they notice the distraction, the thing in the environment, and you mark it, and your dog hears the marker and turns towards you. Okay, so in the first two levels, basically you're marking and you're rewarding, and they're not really focused on you, they're focused on the thing, the distraction in the environment. At level three, you're going to get to the point where you notice your dog notices the distraction, you mark it, and they actually turn and look at you. Yes, and this is the level where they're most receptive to the reward. They're like, oh wait, I know that word. I know that marker. I'm going to get something good. I'm going to focus on my owner at this point. This is where you really start to feel good about this skill. This is where you start to feel like you guys are working together as a team, okay? You're still marking stuff that you know they react to, and you're still marking stuff that they don't have big reactions to. You're going to do that throughout this whole thing. But here, you mark it, they hear the marker word, they're starting to recognize it, and they turn towards you. Yay! Mark it and reward it. Good job. And then you're going to get to level four. This is where your dog notices the distraction in the environment and will actually turn to you before you even say the marker word. This is where it's become such an ingrained habit that they're like, oh, there's something in the environment. Wait, every single time there's something in the environment, my owner says that word and then I get a reward. I'm just gonna turn to them. Mark it and reward it. Even if they started to turn to you before you use the marker word, still use the marker and still reward it. This is awesome. This is basically communicating to you that that distraction is becoming much less important to your dog. It's not something they're as worried about anymore. They're realizing that it's really not something to be concerned about. This is great. And then you are eventually going to get to level 5. And this is where your dog does not acknowledge the distraction at all. The distraction happens, that other dog in the next yard goes out into the yard to play, the people walk by, the car door closes, the other kid goes by on the bike while you're walking your dog, and your dog just ignores it. It has become none of their business. It has become something that they're not concerned about anymore. You can still mark it and reward it at this stage, and I highly encourage you to do that every so often just to continue to top up this skill. We always want to be topping up our dog's skills. There's no such thing as taught and done. We always want to be topping it up. But that's the dream, right? Like, that's where we want to get to. We want to be able to have our dog in these environments, around these distractions, around these things, and have them just go, meh, okay, that's none of my business. I'm just going to ignore it. And you can get there. Like I said, through these levels, level 1 through 5, your dog will work through them, but they will work through them at their own pace. Your dog may go through these levels quite quickly. It may take quite a long time. You might move through a couple of them quickly and then feel like you're stuck at a level for a while. Just stay consistent. Stay consistent and remember to top up all the different things, all the different distractions. You can really, really superpower this skill if you also teach your dog at the same time how to build their optimism and how to build disengagement. So a lot of the times when our dogs are reacting to some kind of distraction in their environment, if it's any kind of barky, lungy, fearful reaction to a distraction, it's usually a dog that's more pessimistic than optimistic. And this is something I'm going to dive into in another episode because it's a really awesome thing, concept to understand when it comes to our dogs. But usually it's because they see something and they're like, oh, this might be bad. I need to be upset about it. If we can build our dog's optimism where they see new things or see things in their environment and think, oh, maybe this is a good thing, then we have less and less of that reactivity. So you're going to have a lot more success with this and a lot quicker success with this if you are also building their optimism, which we can do through certain games. And another thing is to build their skill of disengagement. So disengagement is basically being able to turn away from that thing. Turn away from the fence. Turn away from the kid on the bike. Turn away from the window where the people are walking by. Whatever it might be. And that, again, is a skill, a concept that we can build through games. So highly recommend using this distraction mark and treat, this marking distractions with your dogs, but also at the same time playing games that build their optimism and playing games that build their skill for disengagement. Another key point with this is do not let it become your management. So don't let it just become something that you do to stop your dog from reacting to things. Because when you're using it as a management tool, when you're kind of stuck in that level one where you're only doing it at the bad reactions and you're removing them from the situation, you don't feel like you're moving up those levels, when you're constantly marking and rewarding, if you're using it exclusively, it takes all the responsibility away from your dog and puts it on you. It is your responsibility at that point to notice all the distractions. It is your responsibility to mark them and reward them. And if you're doing that constantly, then you're not able to understand if your dog is understanding. You're not able to see if they're moving up those levels because you're focusing on it so much. So use this skill, build it, teach that reward marker, mark and reward those distractions. You're going to do it a lot more in the beginning, yes. Use it a lot in the beginning while you're building that. But as they're starting to move up some of those levels, you need to still give your dog some of the responsibility. Let them decide if they're concerned about the thing before marking and rewarding. So especially when you get to that level 3, level 4, be aware and see if they notice a distraction. And then kind of test it. Let them test it. See what they do. Don't mark it and reward it right away, every time. Start to give them some of the responsibility. See if they're going to react again. See if they are going to make the decision to notice it, but be calm. See if they're going to make the decision to notice it and come to you, whatever that might be. And they might make the wrong choice. And that's okay, because then that's just information. Then it's like, all right, we do need to go back to building this up. Or we do need to go back to marking more less reactive things with them than just the reactive things. Like, always test it. Always see where you're at. Whenever you're working with your dog, always be aware of where they're at and where you're at. And if you guys are moving up and progressing a skill, don't get stuck. Okay, so yes, use it lots and lots in the beginning, but as you're moving up those higher levels, make sure you're giving your dog the responsibility to make the choice. And if they choose wrong, that's okay. It just means you need to build up more value for it, and that's okay. But we don't want to be turning this into a thing where you always have to be marking your dog, or else they're going to react badly. You don't want to not even give them the choice to react. You don't want to mark everything and constantly pull their attention away, because then you don't really know. You don't know if they're going to notice the distraction and not react to it if you're constantly seeing it and going, okay, nice reward, nice reward. They didn't even have the choice to not react to it. You didn't give them that. So give them that moment to see if they're going to make the choice to not even react to it when you get to those higher levels. So that's distraction marking. I know it was kind of a big topic and we kind of flew through it. So feel free to go back, listen to it again, make notes, understand the 3 steps, understand the 5 levels that you're going to work through when you're working with your dog with this skill. But it literally becomes pretty much a way of life. It is the key way to teach your dog that, hey, stuff happens. Things are always going on in our environment. The dog has to decide whether it's something to be concerned about or not, and this is our way to teach them that actually, no, you don't need to be concerned about it. It's really none of your business. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you liked what you heard, please feel free to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. You can learn more about us by checking out our website, www.prairiepups.com. You can connect with us more directly over on Instagram at @prairie_pups, or you can reach out to us at any time, info@prairiepups.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.